Thank you very much, Richie. Well, it is a great pleasure for me to be here to introduce you a little bit in the program which we have so far developed here. Well, cities are open systems and they are depending on the throughput of resources and energy, of course. And when we are talking about throughput, we need a transport system. And it is the transport of air. The air we are breathing here is coming from somewhere. The air we are polluting is going to somewhere. And world cities breathe the air of the world and pollute the world. The same is happening with the water, the goods, and the people. But we very often forget that cities are also sources and also consumers of information. We have already talked about information society, and there are visible informations, but also invisible informations. We have today already discussed some of them. Cities are, if we look to them in the spatial dimension, the highest variety and concentration of functions, of human functions on the minimum of space. And there are very simple indicators for a successful city. A successful city is short in trip length. A successful city is low in energy demand for the transport system. And a good city planning concept needs not very much physical mobility. So very often transport engineers are very happy by increasing demand, but what they are fulfilling is deficits in urban planning. I will show you later on. And the cities should attract people also in the leisure time, not only where they have to be and must be there, but also where they want to go. We are always dealing in the transport sector with data. And very often we forget that data are always the reflection, a special kind of reflection, of behavior. And when we are dealing with human behavior, we have to take care how human behave. And human behavior is also because humans are very intelligent beings. They read the environment and they behave. What the environment is telling them in the right way or the wrong way. We call it wrong, but people always behave in the way they think it is right for them. And the behavior is influenced by the structures. So when we are doing city planning, we change the behavior by changing different structures. And the top world cities, well, concerning the mobility, I'm going now to the mobility question. We have already the saying mobility is growing up, but each mobility has a certain purpose. So are the purposes going up? No, they are not going up. Only the kinds of mobility are changing. If somebody is making the trip with a car, he cannot go to the for the same purpose with a bike or with a public transport or can walk. So what is happening in reality is if car traffic is going up or mechanical traffic is going up, all the other modes are going down. And modes which are urban agreeable are pedestrians, cycle, and public transport trips, and they have gone down during the last century, extremely. This is an environment which tells the people they can walk, and they are doing it. This is an example of Munich, for example, or from Finland, or your wonderful Nanjing Road. So you have changed the environment, so you've changed the behavior, and you have a density of transportation there on the pedestrians. Or you provide cycle tracks in a wonderful way. I think no big city has these wonderful opportunities for cycling like Shanghai. And what is the outcome? A lot of cycles and a huge density of transport without any pollution and supporting the city. Or you produce a good transport system on public transport, like Hong Kong, for example, and it will attract people to use the public transport. Or you can produce another thing. You can make a very attractive system for the use of cars. And the ultimate outcome looks like this, everywhere in the world, wherever you look. So we know how systems function now, and we can change them. Well, we are always talking, and economists are calculating very often still something which is not exist, which don't exist in the transport sector, time saving by increasing speed. If you increase the speed, distances are going up. And you get the far and lose the near. So you destroy the small structures and support the big structures. You cannot go out of this one. So you cannot become rich in time by increasing the speed. You are only becoming rich in wasted time driving longer distances. This is the ultimate outcome. If you increase the speed, then if we don't control it from outside, and this is nearly impossible, the city runs out over its border. Very easy. At the same time, it concentrates some functions. And we are always looking to the things which where the cars are moving. But the key issue is parking, the organization of parking. Because if you organize parking in such a way that they have immediately access to high speed, this happens. But if you separate people from car parks as far as, at least, as public transport is separated, then you control in a certain amount the development of the city. These are the data from Shanghai, which our team was able to organize. And you see, the same happens at everywhere in the world. If you increase the speed, the distance goes up. If we look to efficiency in terms of energy for the same purpose, and we compare the efficiency of non-motorized by about 100%, then the car has an efficiency of less than 1%. Public transport lies in between. And if we run a shortage for energy in the future, well, this will be the effect of sustainability. It will extinct the inefficient systems, like every time in the evolution. We had a very interesting analysis of the city of New York, and this is the New York situation here. You see the modal split. This is car traffic. But if we look to Manhattan, this is public transport. And only this small amount is car traffic. And if we compare the data from Shanghai, Shanghai is in a similar position as Manhattan, but in a much better concerning the long-term run, because we have about 25% cycling, we have 25% walking, we have about 23 or 24% public transport, but only about 8 to 9% car traffic and about 5% cycling. So it is as a very big city, comparable to the rather good situation of Manhattan. Well, this is, I think, very important because we have extended the future only upwards. But I took this diagram from the oil companies. This is the so-called oil peak. On the vertical axis, you see the availability of cheap energy over the history of the Han period from Western to Eastern Han, from about here, over the last 2,000 years in the future. And you see, we were always able to cope with the problem of a very low amount of energy, and now we are in the middle of this oil peak, or at the end of this oil peak, and we have to cope for the future with this oil peak. And if we look to the cities where they are, we see here, this is New York about here, this is Staten Island, Queens, Bronx, and this is Manhattan. And if we have a look to Shanghai, Shanghai is about here. Shanghai is a wonderful position concerning energy consumption and the transport system still now. But everybody wants to have a car, so Shanghai is risky to go up in this way. And up is always a positive imagination, so I will show you how it goes down. This is the lack of energy a city needs to keep its life, keep alive. And Shanghai is still here. And this is about 3,000 megajoules per annum per person. And this would be good for everybody to survive, and this is the critical limit. And you see here are about the European cities, and New York is about two times down. And this is the scale for the American cities, this is Australian cities, this is Europe, and we find many, many Asian cities still above the critical thresholds. So their future outlook is much more positive if they can keep in this position also for the next time. Well, this is was a most interesting diagram I think we got from New York, at least from Manhattan. In Manhattan, the car ownership is decreasing during the last 15 years. And the cycle ownership is increasing, and cycling is increasing. It's very interesting, but New York will need about 100 years in this direction to become sustainable. So it is a very long time. And I think the New Yorkers are preparing for a soft landing. Thank you very much.